welcome back to another Daily Walk. Today I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this question, will our pets be with us in heaven? This is an interesting one. I wanted to talk about it because my cat just died last week. And I just kind of wanted to address it. Just, we like covering things on our walk in Christ as we're walking our life in Christ. And, this is something I've formulated my opinion of a long time ago, but I want to read through and see some articles about what other people said. And, clearly the more theological, more biblical-based arguments have one opinion. And I've seen some things written that are very, very opinion-based are actually saying completely different things. And so I kind of wanted to address this a little bit, and I want to talk about the, both perspectives. Because one of those perspectives is that, God gave us these pets, brought them into our lives, and so why would he not bring them back and reunite them with us in the afterlife, especially since, the rest of our lives, the rest of our family, we come back together? Well, truly, do we? Well, not everybody. Of course, you may have gone to funerals and noticed that every pastor at a funeral appears to be a universalist. I've been at funerals to people that I know did not go to heaven because they have rejected the gospel of Jesus. They've lived completely reprobate lives. And the fact of the matter is those people are not going to be in heaven. So God does not rejoin us all together just because we've died. That's the first thing we have to recognize is to make it into that new creation as humans and as people, we have to accept Christ as our Savior. Then, of course, you have another controversial issue. What about children? And I think there is a very good biblical, although it's between the lines, that suggests that kids under an age of accountability will make it into heaven. Catholic Church, I think, sets it. I think it's like 8 years of age, under 8 years of age, you're free card, but the fact is, as MacArthur wrote in his book, Safe in the Arms of God, I think that he says that, it's not so explicitly clear that babies under a certain age, because he knows the evil heart of man, and he knows there are psychopaths in this world that might actually kill their children to guarantee their place in heaven. And obviously, we don't want anything like that. You take the complicated one of aliens. Are there aliens or not? Well, if there's aliens and they're much like us, there has to be a separate salvatory structure for them as well. And so it raises a lot of concern. So I bring all these weird examples up because they are difficult examples. This is a difficult question. This is not a question that has solid, absolute answers. So I will state my opinion in here, but this is not a theology I'm absolutely going to hang my head on. But the fact is that we love our pets, we consider them parts of our family, and this is why we think that we are going to be reunited with our pets in heaven. But is that sound? Is that biblical? The point is that the first point here is that man himself is uniquely created in the image of God. Uniquely means that we are created in the image of God in a way that other animals are not. Well, all creatures are living flesh with the breath of God breathed into them. And if you've not held your pet as they've gasped their last gasp of air, you understand that we are indeed unified in that we have the breath of life. But the Bible specifically says, let us make man in our own image. So in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So we see a very, very distinct difference between mankind and animals in this section, because mankind is the ruler, the authority, and is created in the image of God. And so there is a lot to that that we have to consider, this, that man is uniquely created in the image of God. Verse 27 there is, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so we are definitely created differently. Now, creation of animals is good. It is even good worth saving. Okay, and in Genesis 6:19, every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive, and they shall be male and female. So even when God is planning to wipe out all of mankind because of their sins, save this one family that is righteous, He chooses to save a representative of every animal on planet Earth. And so the animals are absolutely worth saving in that basis as well. And so we have to recognize that, that the animals are good. They are given to us as a gift of God. Now, also another point that is oftentimes a logical fallacy, this therefore because of that, you know, is that yes, there are indeed animals in the millennial kingdom and in the new creation. From the millennial kingdom, Isaiah 11, 6 through 8. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion will be and the fatling together. A little boy will lead them, the cow also, and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. All right, so there are animals. That's the millennial kingdom. There are animals in the millennial kingdom. Are those our same pets? Well, definitely not the millennial kingdom, because that's not the new creation yet. While the Christians would come back to help the rule, is there a full resurrection of everybody? No, that is not the case. Also, a point to that is that the only beings we see any form of resurrection of in the Bible at all are humans. And we know that all humans are resurrected in the end. Some of them will be going to the new creation, and some of them will be resurrected to spend an eternity in hell. We see absolutely nothing anywhere in the scripture that suggests a resurrection among the animal kingdom. And the question then, I wanted to talk about a couple of different objections that people will bring out to these. The first of these is in Luke 3:6. And this is, I think all of these exceptions are bad cases of our eisegetic one-verse culture. You know, we have a viewpoint and we're looking for a verse to justify it, not what does the theology teach us. This one verse out of its context says, all flesh will see the salvation of God. There it is! All flesh will see the salvation of God, therefore our cat will be resurrected into heaven. Okay. That is not a salvatory verse. Let me just go ahead and read the context around where that comes from there. This is from Isaiah, this is a section where John the Baptist is talking about the baptism of repentance, forgiveness of sins. He writes, as it is written in the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The ravines will be filled, every mountain and hill will be brought low, the crooked will become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. What does this mean? This is a large sweeping thing that the world will look down and see the salvation of God coming. This is not one verse out of context. Oh, he mentioned all flesh, therefore all flesh will be saved. This is not that type of verse. And to take that verse is very eisegetic. You're looking for a justification. Another way I see is Romans 8, 20 and 21. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who has subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will also be set free from slavery to corruption into freedom for the glory of the children of God. So they mention here that creation is subjected, which yes, all creation, including the animals, were impacted by Adam's fall. Remember, Adam, man, created in God's image, was the image of God and the ruler over the earth appointed at that time. But it says, the creation itself will be set free. Oh, creation therefore is set free. No, what this means is that from this point in time, which effectively would be launched at millennial reign, from this point in time, creation is set free from the sin of Adam. This, again, does not bring up any form of resurrection. It mentions, like, at this point in time, a cow that would be born at this period of time is no longer subject to the consequence of sin of Adam. Therefore, death will thus be removed. Therefore, you have a 1,000-year-old cow at the end of that millennial reign, if it were born earlier on. That would be what the verse is suggesting. Again, no point here mentions a form of resurrection. And this verse here is another one that is sometimes thrown out, Psalm 33, 6. Your righteousness is like the mountain of God. Your judgments are the great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. It does not mention resurrection. It mentions preserve. And what does preserve mean? Some commentaries have looked at this verse and said, well, beast just means a wild man, an animal-like man. I don't think that that's what it means at all, and that is not a particularly common. This is a general common grace verse. It mentions the fact that as God sustains the world and its creation, God will sustain the world in a way that beast will always find a way and man will always find a way. And the fact of the matter is that when you get into all of these salvatory points, this is not a verse talking again about a redemption, a resurrection, placing your trust in Jesus Christ. And really, it is the creation of mankind that is resurrected, again, some into heaven and some into hell. We see no instances of resurrection occurring anywhere else. And so I wanted to leave just one more verse, because God gives us our pets, he gives us our animals so that we have joy. And I just will remind you, like other things God gives us with joy, Job 121, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it is in my opinion, after all of these, I do not believe that our particular animals are making their way in heaven. Now, is it possible? Yes. Is it possible there's some other form of heaven for them? Yes. Is it possible they move on? Yes, it's possible. Again, I'm not going to die on the theology, but if we get down to the strict understandings of the theology of scriptures, I understand you might want to comfort somebody. Is one of the articles I read said, you know, Pope Francis, I think, Pope somebody recently told a boy whose dog died, oh, you'll see him again in heaven. You know, I don't want to run around telling all of our kids when their dogs died that, well, your dog is, it's just a creature and there's no point in ever thinking about it again. I mean, you kind of avoid that. You give words of comfort, but at the same time, we do not give comforting words which violate the doctrines of Scripture. And I just don't see in Scripture that our particular animals will be resurrected into heaven. And because of that, I'm not going to take a solid stance that says, I'm going to see that particular cat in heaven when I get there. I'm sorry, I don't find that in Scripture. And having looked around, I'm not sure anybody can give you that particular verse in Scripture either. But the point is, though, is that another thing about heaven, just while we're mentioning it, we will be so overjoyed in the fellowship with Jesus and the fellowship of our family. The fact of our poor dog or cat will not even cross our mind. Okay, that's another thing to keep in mind as we're doing this. So I do not believe that your particular pets are going to be in heaven. Although, hey, I'm not outside the realm. You could have a pet in heaven. I'm not outside that possibility. Cats and dogs and whatever else will be in heaven. The question is it our cats and our dogs that populate heaven? I don't see any biblical evidence of that. That would require a recreation, a resurrection of the animals, and I don't see any point of resurrection in the Bible except the point for humans. So there are my thoughts. Feel free to agree or disagree in the comments down below. But I just kind of wanted to leave you with that. And I will provide a link here to my other channel where I have a memorial to my cute little cat. And he was a wonderful cat and he lived a long life. And, you know, I'm thankful that he didn't appear to be in any form of pain. In fact, he kind of died sort of suddenly, although I knew he was getting old. You know, he was at the average life expectancy of an indoor cat. I knew over the course of 2 years, I noticed him in 2 years, he went from a really big full cat and he slowly dwindled his way down. He kind of looked like an elderly dude walking down the street, but he didn't appear to be in any pain. And, he woke up one day and I was like, ooh, I'm not sure he's going to make it past this day. And, he made it a few hours and I was able to hold him and pet him while he passed. And, for that, I am grateful to God. And that's the perspective we have to keep in is that God will give you a peace that passes all understanding, even in the case of a beloved pet that dies. So there's my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts down below. Thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.